Joshua chapter 5, let me encourage you to turn back to that portion of Scripture. We've entitled the message, Preparation Time. Preparation Time. Let's just unite our hearts together, word of prayer, as we come to the preaching of God's Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. Thank You, Lord, for the volume of song. Oh, Lord, how even that was mentioned this morning concerning our Sunday school. And Lord, we thank Thee that congregation can sing out even the praises of the Lord. And Lord, we bless Thee that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would help us as God's people to be a joyful people. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless us as we come to Thy Word, even this very passage. Oh, Lord, teach us. Lord, we're humble enough to say, Lord, we need the teachable Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us tonight. Even as we come around Thy Word. Lord, we pray that Thou would take away every distraction. Shut us in with Thyself. Have a word, Lord, even for every heart. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are Thine. Thou knowest those that are yet in sin, in the broad road. We pray, Lord, that Thou would even speak a word to them as well. Lord, I pray to that end, Thou would fill us with Thy Spirit and with power. Give me words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Never before have you seen such preparation of an army before they went to battle, conquering and to conquer. They had crossed over the Jordan River, and they were within sight of the first walled city, that of Jericho. And yet instead of pressing their advantage, the men were to subject themselves to the knife of circumcision. And they were to encamp in the place that became known as Gilgal. Gilgal has the meaning of rolled away. And it is, even in the words that we have read here this evening, it is found there. Because you'll notice in the words of verse 9, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. That's why they called it Gilgal. It is no wonder that Matthew Henry, for you who do not know who Matthew Henry is, he's a commentator upon the Scriptures, and Matthew Henry tried to place himself in the shoes of those that were in Jericho, in behind that walled city. And as they looked out and as they would have viewed even the nation of Israel, he said that they must have observed Israel with astonishment and thinking them to be very strange. For instead of pressing forward into battle, they were given to exercises which were divine in their origin and which were prolonged in their nature. You see, the rite of circumcision would have meant them incapacitated for days. And again, we read that in those verses. And now we find that they're to keep a feast unto the Lord, which detained them even further. But the lesson that Israel were to learn, and them as an example given to us, is what Paul was to teach the church at Corinth in the New Testament. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There had to be a right preparation. Yea, there had to be a heart preparation before they ever went forth to serve and to face the enemy. When we consider the reinstatement of the Passover, then we see it all fits together in place. It was only to be observed by those who were circumcised and those who were marked out as the nation of God. And like the rite of circumcision, what we might consider to be the two sacraments of the Old Testament, the keeping of the Passover, it had also fallen into disuse due to their disobedience and due to their unbelief. Passover was held that night in Egypt, you remember, with shoes on their feet. But it was also the night of their deliverance. And then again, according to Numbers chapter 9, a year later it was held at Sinai. Since that time, over 39 years that was to follow, there had been no Passover kept. They had forfeited the right, they had forfeited the blessings of it by their disobedience. And you know, the same can be said of God's people. There can be no fellowship and blessings enjoyed if there is disobedience to God in the life. And that too involves preparation. You know, what a change when they obeyed the word of God and when they were to cross over. For within 4 days of doing so, of entering into Canaan, they are found keeping the Passover. And how significant that was and is to us who desire to march on in victory. There are the lessons to be learned as we consider Israel at this place, Gilgal, and especially when it concerns them obeying the Lord and keeping the Passover. We might say this was preparation time. A blessing when we ourselves are set to come around the table of the Lord in just a little while. Let me show you first of all here, we're really just dealing with verses 10, 11, and 12. That's it, 10, 11, and 12. And I want you to see the celebration. The people of Jericho looking across the plain at the great nation of God that had crossed over the Jordan, trembling to see them having breached the Jordan River, would no doubt have wondered, what are they doing? Why are they not advancing toward us? They were not advancing, nor were they making weapons, but instead they were holding one of those feasts, one of the feasts which the Lord had God had told them to. The Passover was a time of celebration to Israel, and it was a time where they had cause to thank the Lord and to praise the Lord for all that He had done for them. After all, it was the Lord who had saved them. It was the Lord who had delivered them from their bondage, and His grace had brought them to the place where they were on the threshold of opportunities to serve Him. They would soon be setting forth to gain that inheritance that God had set apart for them. I wonder, do you take the time to praise the Lord for saving you and for the opportunity to serve Him in whatever way He directs? Don't be afraid to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord. And I'm not talking about our collective worship where, as I've already commented upon, it's always encouraging to the preacher the congregation sings out. But you know, don't be afraid to praise the Lord at home. And years ago, I'll tell the young people this, is before my time as well, but I can vaguely remember it. You see, when the people came to church, they didn't only bring their Bible, they brought the Psalter with them as well. And that tells me something. It tells me that they used the hymn book at home as well as using it in the church. Romans chapter 6 in the words of verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." There's the change that the Lord has wrought in your life. From being a servant of sin, ye became servants of righteousness. What was the Passover all about? This was a celebration of remembrance. It caused them to remember how the Lord had delivered them from their bondage in Egypt. The meaning of the Passover was laid out before them. You turn to Exodus chapter 12, and the words of verse 24, you will see it for yourself. It says, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." Exodus 12, verse 25. "And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as He hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service?" What does this all mean? "That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped." They were able to tell the children in time to come what it was all about. It was kept for the generations to come, in which they will be taught of that night when God delivered them by the blood of the Passover lamb. They were the people sheltering under the blood. And when the death angel was to call on the homes of the Egyptians, God was to pass over them. God was to say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they were delivered by the mighty hand of God. He was to bring them out of the house of bondage. And because of the Passover, they now had the blessings of the land of promise and of their inheritance. You see, men and women, it is only because of that night. That night, that Passover night in Egypt, that they would now enjoy the blessings of Canaan. The greatest danger to Israel, especially to the second generation of them, was that they would forget what the Lord had done. Dear believer, we are no different, you know. We are to remember all that God and Christ has done for us. And that is why the Lord has left the church the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the very words on the front of the communion table, "This do in remembrance of me." Because the Lord knows us. Yet how many of God's church in this day and age don't take time to remember? This Passover was a celebration of the redemption. Israel were delivered by the shed blood of the Passover lamb. That blood was apportioned to their homes. And so God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And it was because of that blood and through that blood that they were now sitting in the land of their inheritance and blessing. They had been redeemed by the blood. But understand, you know, that redemption doesn't only mean that they were brought out. Redemption also embraces a bringing in. You turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Deuteronomy 6 and 23 says this. Moses is rehearsing to the nation of Israel of that time. And he says, "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." He brought us out from thence and he might bring us in. Their redemption meant that God had purchased for them a land of rich blessing. He had brought them out of Egypt that they might enter into that blessing, and it would have been within 2 weeks of leaving Egypt had it not been for their disobedience, had it not been for their unbelief. God redeemed them. He brought them out that he might bring them in. And the Passover been held in Canaan would have reminded them of all of that. Dear child of God, consider that God hasn't saved you or I that we might wander about endlessly in circles devoid of blessing and in defeat or not enjoying the victory. God hasn't saved us like it for that. The Savior's redeeming work on the cross, planned out from eternity past, meant a full redemption from sin and the bondage of it, so that his redeemed people might enjoy God's full blessings in Christ. It is a redemption that means being saved from hell, yes. The due reward of our sin. But also it is a redemption that means one day we shall enter into that new Jerusalem, that heavenly Canaan, into that city whose builder and maker is God. It is being redeemed out of Adam to being in Christ. And in Christ there is fullness. Colossians 1 and verse 19. Maybe I'm preaching to someone and you don't believe that. Well, you see, verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 9 and 10. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Listen to this, underline it. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Everything that you and I need is in Christ. That's what it's teaching. We have a full salvation, and because of Christ, we can enjoy all things that He has purchased for His people, even through the blood of His cross. Consider also that they kept the Passover. It would have been something that brought the realization to them that they were only in Canaan because of what God had done for them. It was God who had chosen them because He loved them. It was God who brought them out of Egypt and sustained them. It was God that kept them through the years of the wilderness. It was God who turned back the Jordan so they might cross over. It was the Lord who gave them the land of Canaan for an inheritance. God did all these things for them, and now they were in that land, and it's all because of the blood of the Passover lamb. I trust as God's redeemed that we never lose that realization. That anything we have is because of Christ. Because of Him. He has chosen us in Christ. He has redeemed us by His own precious blood. We have been kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. One day we shall enter into that glorious eternal inheritance, all because of Christ. And you know what we shall be singing in heaven? Revelation chapter 5 and the words of verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We'll be singing about the blood. The same as we sing about tonight, we're singing about the power of the blood. Let me ask before I go any further, are you depending on the blood to save your soul, gain you entrance into heaven? Anything else, and everything else is sinking sand. Here was the celebration. But then you'll notice the provision. You'll note that the Passover was kept in the exact same day as they had done so in Egypt. It was on the 14th of that month. But what we are given to see in the next verse is what took place after the feast of the Passover was over. The nation of Israel are found enjoying the provision of the land. You look at it again, verse 10, the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. It was a provision that was promised. How often God had said that He would give them a land. How often He said that that land flowed with milk and honey. From the time when God met with Abraham and spoke to him of the land that would be given to him as a seed for an everlasting possession, we are progressively brought to consider the sort of land that it was to be. Even when the Lord met with Moses in the backside of the desert in the burning bush, He was to reveal to him then the sort of land that He was going to deliver His people out of Egypt and bring them on to. It was a good and a large land. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land different from the land of Egypt. You turn back again to Deuteronomy chapter 11 this time. You look at the words of verse 9. Here's a little summation of the land. Where it says in verse 9, Deuteronomy 11, And that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them, and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. There it is again. Verse 10, For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. Remember, when Abraham gave Lot the choice, he looked toward the city of the plains, and it looked just like Egypt. Abraham got Lot out of Egypt, but he never got Egypt out of Lot. It just looked like Egypt, and that's why he went and chose that place, the plains toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses is reminding the people here, it's not like the land of Egypt. He goes on to say, from whence ye came out, whether thou where sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs, but the land whether you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. A man and woman, I believe that is prophetic. God still cares for that piece of land. His eyes are still upon it. He hasn't forgotten it. But you see how different it was. A land which was watered by the rains from heaven. A land which the Lord God careth for. A land given to them by God, of houses that they wouldn't have to build, of vineyards that they wouldn't have to plant. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the words of verse 10 says it. It says there, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. That is the promised provision that the Lord had spoken to him about. A provision that's not stingy, but abundant in its nature. And now, sitting on the other side of the Jordan, they were beginning to enjoy that abundant provision. They could begin to see this provision for themselves. The promises of God are sure. Dear child of God, what will heaven be like? We can only say this, that eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Note also that they were participating in this provision in the words of verse 11. It says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. It was only following the reinstating of the Passover feast that they were to enjoy the blessings that followed. All their participating flowed from and because of Passover. Following that feast, they were able to participate of the bountiful provision that God had for them upon that resurrection ground. It's generally accepted by the commentators that the people of the country around about Gilgal would have fled. They'd have retired for safety to the walled city of Jericho, and thereby they would have left the barns full of the old corn that had been gathered in. And so what was left served as a timely supply for this great army of God's people. Proverbs 13, verse 22 is a commentary on that. Although it has other application as well. Just listen to this. Tremendous wee verse. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And here's the wealth of the sinners of Gilgal. And it's laid up for the army of Israel. They had supply of the old corn for the unleavened bread, the unleavened feast as well, which could not have been done with the manna of the wilderness. And dear loved one, when we see Israel here feasting of the Passover on the old corn, then doesn't it remind us that anything we have, it flows from and because of Christ, who is our Passover. All blessings flow to us as a result of Calvary. The words of Ephesians 1 remind us that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And what follows are those blessings of election, adoption, redemption, acceptance. And so we could go on. Tell me, are you enjoying your blessings in Christ? Are you enjoying your salvation, child of God? As it were, participating of Christ who has made unto us everything that we need, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Are you enjoying the Lord? Are you enjoying the blessings that He has purchased by His own precious blood? You know, there's one final thought that I don't want you to miss to do with their participating. Note the place where they did it. Look at the words of verse 10 again. And it says, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. They kept the Passover. They feasted of the old corn in the very plains of Jericho, within sight of that walled city. What we might say, under the very nose of the devil. That's the place where we can defeat the old devil, right in the teeth of his most subtle attacks, is where we can enjoy and have the victory. Picture Israel at this place. Those at Jericho must have wondered greatly, what were they doing? They were making those needful preparations by first considering God and partaking of God's provision. That's the place where God enables us to feast and to prove that Christ is conqueror. Isn't it brought out in that well-known psalm, Shepherd Psalm? Verse 5, Psalm 23, thou wert preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Is that the place where you're at tonight? Partaking of Christ, enjoying Christ in the midst of this evil and sinful world. Just picturing Israel there at Gilgal. The celebration that they had and keeping the feast and the provision that God had given to them, and they're ready partaking. You know, there's one final thought. That is the cessation. Having held the Passover feast, having enjoyed the old corn of the land, we're brought to consider that which was to cease. Verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after it had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. In quick succession, there were the days of the Passover, there was the eating of the corn, and on the morrow there was the ceasing of the manna. The manna ceased. And when we think of the manna, then understand that it was something that was limited in its use. They could only do certain things with it. We've already stated and already said to you that they couldn't hold the feast of the unleavened bread with the manna. It was limited food for the wilderness. It suited a wilderness journey, but now that Israel were in the land of their inheritance, now that they were partaking of the old corn and the new corn that was waving in the fields, there was no longer any need for the manna. It was food that would not do Israel as they went forth to fight and to conquer their inheritance. The wilderness was over. The carnality of that experience had ended. The food that was suited it had ceased. And now the people were partaking of the new resources, which would mean vitality and life to go forth to conquer and to possess their possessions. What about you, child of God? Wonder what is your soul feeding upon? Dietitians will tell us they know much about us by what we eat. You ever hear that? You are what you eat. Well, I'm not talking about the dietitians in the physical sense. I'm talking about the spiritual. The reason why many believers have no stomach for the battle and for possessing their possessions in Christ is because they're still feeding on the food of their wilderness experience. And while God's provision of the manna never failed them, and while it was given in mercy to a disobedient and to an unbelieving nation, yet it was never meant for them in Canaan. And so it is for every child of God. The Scriptures remind us that they that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. You see, men and women, young people, there's no substitute for spending time feasting on Christ. No substitute. Upon His living Word. I trust that we are not like the church at Corinth. You remember how Paul stated that they were yet carnal. They could not be fed with the meat. Why? For they weren't able to bear it. They were still just little children. Don't be content with the wilderness food. When God has given us the provision of the fullness of Christ. But you know, there's something else. Consider also that there was the cessation of the miraculous. The manna was provided miraculously from the ovens of heaven. And every morning when the dew was lifted, there the manna was as bread for the people. But now that they crossed over into that land that flowed with milk and honey, a land wherein the corn was ripening for the harvest, there was no longer any need for the miraculous. Its purpose was fulfilled. And it reminds us that God doesn't need to do the miraculous when it's not necessary. The same was seen in the early New Testament church. The miraculous gifts were given to the apostles on a temporary basis so as to authenticate the word of God and to give validate the authority of the apostles sent out by Christ. That's why they had those powers. Mark chapter 16, you'll see it for yourself, the words of verse 17 and 18, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Those were extraordinary powers. But with the complete canon of Scripture, with the bread that satisfies, there's no longer any need for the signs and wonders. And so they ceased. You take time when you go home, read 1 Corinthians 13, you'll see that. It was a cessation. How reluctant some of God's people are to understand that. And there is the going after the signs and the wonders and the emotional excitement and the spectacular meetings. And all these are but evidences of spiritual immaturity. It's just the stuff of children. Do you want to be strong for the Lord? You want to do battle victoriously against the devil, then eat of the corn of God's word. Participate in that which the Lord has commanded. It is Christ that satisfies. And it is his resurrection power that we need to live, and we need to possess our inheritance purchased for us at Calvary. Israel didn't need the manna any longer. They were on resurrection ground, and they now had that which had in it the germ of life, the corn of the land. John chapter 6, in the words of verse 48, just let me read a couple of verses to you. And the Lord said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Men and women, there's Calvary. There's Calvary. What we will remember in a little moment or two around the table, the breaking of the bread, the broken body of Christ, he gave of his flesh, that his people might feast and live forever. You see, I said to you, Christ satisfies. Are you feeding on Christ upon resurrection ground as Israel did? Are you hungering? And come to the Savior. Taste and see that he is good. Have done with sin. Backslider, cease with your wanderings and partake of the bread of life from which you will never hunger and by which you will be able to see the strongholds of Satan pulled down even in your life. Preparation time. And you know what happened? They kept the Passover. They started to obey the Lord's command again. They partook of the provision that God had brought them into. They prepared themselves for what lay ahead. before the chapter's out, Christ is seen. Joshua goes as a leader, a little reconnaissance. He's looking at this great walled city. And suddenly between him and the walled city is a figure he doesn't know who it is. Are you for us or against us? And he said, no. But as the Lord of hosts, am I come. And there is an Old Testament appearance of Christ himself. That's why he took the shoes off. It's holy ground. Christ was there. He met the Lord. Men and women, when we see Christ, it takes away the fears of the problem that is on the horizon. Try and get the Lord in between you and your problem, and you've conquered it. That's what Joshua did. He saw the Lord. And it was only after they obeyed his word, they kept the feast, and they partook of the provision that God had for them. May we be such even in these days. The Lord bless his word to each of our hearts tonight for his own name's sake. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. If you're not remaining with us for the time around the table, after I pronounce the benediction, you can make your way quietly out. And we bid you Godspeed. God's blessing. You're not saved, we're praying the Lord will save you, bring you to the foot of the old rugged cross. If you're staying, we look forward to the Lord's blessing and meeting with us around this table. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank the Lord for this glorious picture of Israel having crossed over into their inheritance. Lord, reinstating the Passover feast, remembering again what God had done for them, remembering that they were there only through the shed blood of the Passover lamb. Lord, how they were to enjoy the provision that God had purchased for them. Lord, they partook of the old corn. Oh, how even Christ was seen. Lord, we pray that we might, in the midst of our pilgrim journey, in the midst of our battle, that we might see Christ more and more. We might see him. Lord, we pray that we would move from victory on to victory. Bless those that are not saved. Speak, Lord, I pray. Have mercy on their soul. Pray, Lord, you'd bring them to the foot of the old rugged cross tonight. Bless those that will part at this time. Go before them, we pray, Lord. And remember us, Lord, as we would even further wait on in thy presence. Help us, Lord, to participate in the joy of the Lord. We pray that thou would feed us. And, Lord, we would feast upon thee as we would meet around thy table. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and for God's great eternal glory.